Tell us whatever the Holy Ghost has laid on his heart tonight. We love you, Brother Hood.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Great to be in Birmingham. Beating up on the devil in Birmingham. Bringing down the blessings in Birmingham. Having babies in Birmingham. Yep, I couldn't go any further. Y'all been taking that scripture seriously about be fruitful and replenish the earth. Or replenish the church. Or amen. Isn't God wonderful? My pastor used to say, I'd rather be in the church than the best hospital in town. And we used to just get laugh. After a while, it got to be a cliche. But, you know, the older I get, I kind of like it. I would rather be in the church because the healer's in the church. The heart mender's in the church. The vision caster is in the church. And I'm so thankful for the love of God and for the mercy of the Lord that's everlasting. And I always enjoy coming here. This has become one of my favorite places to come. And I enjoy being here. I appreciate the Sutton family and appreciate the ministry of this church. Amen. I brag about you guys everywhere I go. And I'm not just saying that. Places I don't like to go, I just don't talk about them. Sometimes God says you have to go, so I go. My wife will say, well, why do you go? Well, if God tells me I have to go, I got to go. He's the boss. Don't want him to fire me. But this is a place I enjoy coming because of the Spirit of the Lord that's here, the residency of faith, the fervency that you have for the things of God, and your ability to absorb what the Spirit of God wants to put in you. Amen. God is doing not only wonderful things, but he's unveiling various mysteries of his will the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. And obviously the ultimate unveiling is when the trump of God sounds. And that's why I want to make sure I stay in the church of the living God, stay with the doctrines of Christ. And when you have a balance of doctrine and demonstration, you don't have to worry. Some lean toward one or the other in extremes. If you have a church that has all doctrine, they are starchy and frustrated and usually sarcastic and skeptical about miracles. But if you have a church that is only motivated by the sensational, then they have a tendency to be easily disconnected from the scripture and to begin to believe anything. What I always enjoy when I come here, and as an outside guest coming in, an itinerant voice, is the balance of doctrine and demonstration. You love to praise the Lord, but you do not diminish the preaching of the word. You love inspiration, but you also understand the tremendous value of instructions. And if any of you men have ever tried to put something together without following the instruction manual, now you can be inspired to put things together, and I've done that, thinking that with my own ingenuity and stubborn will, I could get it done. But after getting it put together and it's leaning when it should be standing up straight, and I'm trying to figure out what this handful of screws and bolts are for, and then it doesn't work properly, I just follow the instructions. So always match your inspiration with instruction. If your inspiration goes beyond the realm of instruction, then it's probably not from God. And there are a lot of people that will say, well, I heard this from the Lord. No, what you heard that from was your own subconscious will. Because humanity has a strong will, but that doesn't mean heaven is speaking. Balaam got to go the direction he wanted to go, but guess what? He created Balaam's doctrine. I don't want Balaam's doctrine that runs after the flesh and the greed and the avarice will of human desire. What is heaven's desire? And if you have a balance of instruction and inspiration, of doctrine and demonstration, if you realize that in the church of the living God, foundations never change. When a foundation is poured by the word of God, he doesn't go and jackhammer that thing out and do something else. He didn't change the law. He fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law through the righteousness of the church. Praise God. So you realize foundations don't change, but fountains may be different. Your methods may change. Some of you may be sitting in a dry place tonight, and the reason you're there is because you have put God in a box. You've made him predictable, and he has become nothing more than religious monotony to you. Even in learned expression, people, I've learned through the years, people can fake you out with a dance and a shout and never really show the misery and the pain of things going on underneath. Praise God. So fountains, you know, if you've been digging in the same place and you've extracted all the water you can from that experience, then you move on. You don't stay there. Because then you're telling God, I'm not willing to change, or I'm not willing to continue in transition to whatever next place God wants me to go to. So fountains change because that's like inspiration. That's like fruit. That's like experiences in God. But foundations don't change. Aren't you thankful tonight for the foundation of the gospel? The foundation of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. When folks are trying to delineate the differences with religious experiences and expressions in this hour, the one thing that causes us to stand out more than anything is our unwillingness to let go of our Jesus name conviction, that we still believe Acts 2:38, Acts 4:12, that we still believe the formula for entrance into the kingdom of God is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And that promise is for everybody, regardless of dysfunctional background, regardless of race or creed, regardless of past mistakes or even present successes. It is that one foundation that the apostles and the prophets laid. Praise God. Let's lift our hands to the Lord for a moment as you get ready to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Speak to us tonight, God. You know where this church is at in the timing of its planting, in the timing of its harvest, in the transition of seasons, and the things, Lord, that are being continued in disciplined ways, vision that has been believed. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to us. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to start at verse number 1. The Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The word serpent comes from a Hebrew word which is picturesque in its language. And it is describing the serpent according to the sound that it makes, a hissing sound. That's why you got to be careful of folks that go, psst. Psst, hey, guess what I heard? You find somebody that's got a real spirit of a gossiper on them, they get more sibilant the more they talk. They really seem so. Did you hear what's been happening? Be like, you know what? You're starting to sound a little bit like a snake. Well, you hang around and gossip too long, that's probably what you are. Amen. Folks trying to have a move of God, and the enemy's always trying to slither in, stick his nose in stuff that ain't his business. Praise God. So just be careful with the psst, hey, over here. Because that's essentially what he did to Eve with that perfectly symmetrical grin. And his words sounded like honey dripping from the comb. And she was mesmerized from the moment she heard that advocate of darkness begin to lay his case or make his case. Yea, hath God said. Man, she was hooked. He shall not eat of every tree in the garden. I mean, God has already declared in Genesis 1 and 26 that man is given dominion over every beast of the field, over everything. He's getting ready to give away dominion for an opinion. He is going to decrease his level of faith for something that is merely the perspective of a snake. Now, why do I want to listen to an accuser when the Savior's been talking? Why do I want to listen to a liar when the Liberator's been speaking? Why do I want to listen to the warden of the prisons of darkness when my God, who walked in flesh on this planet and was stretched out on an old rugged cross that I can enjoy the splendors of light, why would I want to settle for the gossip and the hearsay of darkness? Why would I want to give in to condemnation when there's a greater conviction in me that says if I will trust in the Lord, he will lead me. He will direct my paths. I will not stumble in the night. I will not stagger in the day. I will not be lost in a wilderness of confusion. I will not be found wanting in the hour of need and famine, for I will always have drink from the wells of salvation, and I will always have bread from the word of God on my table. I'd rather hear what God has to say. Is anybody here tonight tired of hearing what the devil's got to say? Tired of hearing what a mocking media has to say? Tired of hearing what a reporter of hell has to say? Tired of listening to the journalistic details of a devil that knows nothing about the grace of God? But here you are tonight having experienced the blood of the Lamb, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, God has given some of you here tonight great promises. Some of them have come to pass and some of them are still on the shelf. And the longer they stay on the shelf, it is a tendency in our human dilemma to begin to think that it's not going to happen, or maybe we've missed it, or maybe God doesn't love us anymore, or maybe he's not going to give us that anymore. But I still believe the report of the Lord. I still believe that Jesus is coming again. I still believe that he wants to bless his people. I still believe that he wants to save every sinner in every community around this church, in this city, where you work, in your neighborhoods, on your job, in your family, the backslider, the heathen, the reprobate, the one that's been written off by everybody else. And the devil is saying, why are you wasting your time trying to reach them? And yet, I don't want to hear what that old sibilant serpent has to say. I want to hear what God has to say. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Somebody here tonight right now needs to wake up an old, stir up an old gift in you. Spark an old flame. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I haven't forgotten what God spoke to me. I haven't forgotten what God promised. I haven't forgotten the things that God has said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, the enemy knew if he could get Eve to question long enough, questioning would lead to quitting. Because a lot of folks quit when they can't get their questions answered. And yet you're not always going to have an answer. Because Hebrews 6 says hope is an anchor. It's an anchor. Hope means you don't have the answer. It's still a mystery. It hasn't been unveiled. You haven't finished the journey. God has not completed the process. You still need a few more degrees of the heat and the fire and the furnace of that trial before you are finished. And before God has you where he wants you to be. But if I allow those questions to make me confused, well, you know what? There is something to that. How come that hasn't worked out yet? How come God hasn't opened the door for me there yet? How come this situation keeps coming back over and over and over and over and over and over again? Yeah, if I can just get you to question, you'll quit sooner or later. You'll quit those convictions. You'll turn your back on what you used to believe. And some of you sitting here tonight know exactly what I'm talking about, because you can look at a place in this sanctuary where there used to be a towering tree and a fruitful branch of a soul winner that's not here anymore, because there's just a stump left there because they let something enter into their life, a confusion, a question, something that they kept going over and over again in the process and couldn't figure that with each filtering of their faith, God was making them better. But instead of getting better, they got bitter against God. And now they are backslid and you're trying to figure out, where did they go and why did they leave? Because the enemy is a master. You don't want to play games with the devil on human terms, because he's the most subtle beast of the field. He knows. He's the master magician. You're not going to pull any rabbit out of a hat or do any sleight of hand that's going to be quicker than the eye of your enemy, because he already knows that trick. The only way to defeat him is standing on the truth. The very moment that the devil began to question God, Eve should have turned her back. Eve should have walked. The very moment that somebody began to question your faith, began to question your doctrine, began to question what your pastor preached, began to question what you stand for in your moral values, in your family, you should have turned your back and walked away and said, you will not question what I believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's love him right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say, the devil is a liar. I've always been amazed at people who could hang around with Judases and take the word of a Judas over the vision of a man of God, over the voice of somebody that's been praying for him. You know what happens? If you hang around with Judas long enough, that's what you'll be doing. You'll be hanging around. You'll hang yourself in confusion, in sinful experiments. Well, I don't see what's wrong with that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we don't have any of those problems in this revival church. Yeah. I knew the moment I walked in here, if you are a revival church, Balaam and Cain and Korah is always trying to find a spot to sneak in. He ain't messing with the churches that are in neutral. The devil's messing with churches that are doing something, because he wants to get you distracted. He wants to get you detoured. He doesn't want you to stay on this path of purpose that you're on. He doesn't want you to be the effective soul winner that you're trying to be. He doesn't want you to keep witnessing to that person that's just about to give in and come to church on that job. He doesn't want you to keep talking to that family member that you think is pushing you away, and yet really they're drawing you in a little bit closer every time that you pray for them, and every time that you converse with them one more time, they are a little closer to coming to the church. And then here is this old whispering spirit of darkness trying to question what God is doing. No, if God has given us power over something, why do I want to come down and come under the influence of things that have nothing to do with God? No, let's, you know, if I'm down here, you know, and I can't see over this chair, I don't know who's all sitting back there. I can't describe to you people. I've lost my vantage point. I've lost my perspective. My perception changes. I can begin to think that the only thing that exists is the back of this chair. I can tell you about the back of the chair. I can have all kinds of pessimistic jargon about that chair.
because I can't see anything else. Why? When God has given you something over the land, I'm looking over. He's given you dominion over the devil. He's given you dominion over that temptation. He's given you dominion over that stronghold. He's given you dominion over that spirit of unbelief. He's given you dominion over the homosexual spirit trying to tear down our society. He's given you dominion over the perverted spirits trying to reach in to our families. He's given you dominion over that. There's no need for me even to come down the stairs to the valley of deception and sit down at the peace table and even talk with the devil. We don't have anything to discuss. It's what Jesus told his disciples in John 14. He said, I'm getting ready to depart, and the prince hath nothing in me. He has nothing in me. I have nothing to discuss with him. We don't even have anything to bargain about. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to keep this perspective up here, because I know what I see. I see great revival. I see fields white under harvest. I see family members being saved that haven't been saved. I see Bible study opportunities that haven't been ready for us yet. They've been withered and charred over and burned over. And then all of a sudden, there's a green blade of grass and there's a stalk where there was nothing. And then there may be just a little hedge. And then before long, it's an entire orchard. Because God has given us dominion over certain things to see that. When you've had a pinnacle experience, why go back to the plateau of religion? When you've been up there on the mountaintop of God's presence, why go down to the valley with the golden calf? Why polish the things that sound good to the human argument, that question things? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why don't you just reach out toward God right now and begin to pray, God, I want to see the things that you see. God, these questions going over and in my mind, let me submit them to the cross. Let me subject them back to the Word of God. Let me give that solid answer. And if I don't have an answer, let me keep walking in faith. Let me keep trusting God. Let me understand that in the kingdom of God, it's faith first and feelings last, that I cannot just give in to the sensation, whether of to pain or to pleasure, but I must have faith in God that transcends all of that, because God has given me power over that. In the name of Jesus, you've been around long enough to know that appearances can be deceiving. If you were to first stumble along the journey of Joseph, if you were to observe him, you can be seated. If you were to observe him in that prison, look at him. His hair all grown out and matted and dirty and filthy, and his eyes are bloodshot, and he smells unbathed. There's nothing pleasant about him. You know, look at him. Old filthy garments on. He's just, you know, big sweat patches underneath his arms. He's just, well, you'd think, well, is he Charles Manson? Who'd he kill? Who'd he rob? But appearances are deceiving, because you wouldn't realize that he's being treated wrong for doing something right. Be careful how you judge your brother or sister in questioning why they're going through what they're going through. Because you might just be like that serpent on that branch going, yay, if God really loved you, would he put you through that? No, appearances can be deceiving. Because here's the problem. When I look at something to say, well, that's not fair. And we've all done it, admit it. It's not fair. And when you get to the terminology of it's not fair, it means you've had some questions about some stuff. There's been an ounce of confusion that's now growing. It's just like a little cancer cell, but now it's a big, large tumor in your spiritual thinking. It's not fair. How come they got the breaks? They ain't been praying as many years as I've been praying. How come God seems to love them more than he loves me? No. It's not fair. It's faith. Bottom line, Well, I don't know why God doesn't want us to eat that tree, devil. But if he said he doesn't want us to eat it, then, hey, I don't want to eat it. I don't know. I got questions too. But the teacher will tell us eventually. Now look, they were meeting with God every day in the cool of the evening. They were having fellowship with the master of the universe, the creator of all the stars and the planets and everything that they were even enjoying of one another. Don't you think eventually he was going to teach them the difference between good and evil? He would have eventually, when they were ready for it, when their understanding and human comprehension was ready for it, God was bringing them along. The devil, see, tries to get you to the end of a thing by taking a shortcut. And then when you get the answer, you don't really know what it's for. And you just stand there naked and ashamed because you don't know what to do with what you've just found out. So stop digging into business that's not yours, because you may not want to find out what you're trying to find out. And that's a word from the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Look at that. No, that man, I know it doesn't look fair. I mean, all he did was refuse to do an immoral act with Potiphar's wife. And look how he's being treated. He's being put in a prison. Yeah, but you haven't summed it all up yet. Because if you're just looking at it from the perspective of fairness, fairness always sums things up by the moment. Faith waits till the end and then sums it all up. Now let's go to the end and look at Joseph as the ambassador of Egypt. Now go back and sum up the pit and Potiphar's house and the prison. Now it makes sense. But that's the journey of faith, because faith usually doesn't make sense. It's believing in advance what will only make sense when you get down the road and look at it in reverse. Wow, now I understand. Whew, I almost walked away from God letting that old devil question me and come with this, poor thing. They're treating you so bad down there at that church. Let's worship the Lord in Jesus' name. Kashikumandahashiketea. Sande da robokuma shandahaya. Haramaya komaranda sotorobokondeya. Somebody lift up your voice to the Lord. God. God, I know it doesn't make sense right now, but I'm going to stay sensitive. I know it doesn't look good right now, but I'm going to keep walking. I know there's a lot of pressure in this, but I'm going to keep praising. I know it's dark for the next few miles of the journey, but I'm going to keep dancing. I know it seems like God has forsaken me because I'm trying to talk to him and he's silent. Where's those thunderous impressions? Where's the man of God that would lay hands on me? Where's the prophet? And you enter into a season where it seems like the louder you scream, the more deaf God becomes. But it's faith. No, it's not fair. It's faith. I'm not going to sum it up by this one moment. I'm not going to sum everything up by this one manifestation. I'm not going to sum it all up by this one season of failure. I'm not going to sum up my walk with God by this one choice. I'm not going to sum up my walk with God by this one failure. I'm not going to sum up my walk with God by this one falling. The Bible said a just man falls seven times. Well, it's a good thing he didn't try to add it up after the first time, because after seven times, he finally figured it out. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. Go back to church one more time. Go back and shout unto the Lord one more time. Go back and praise him and get a hold of God one more time. Read a scripture. Believe a word. Shout a chorus. Sing a new song. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just kind of feel like there's some of us, you know, we get to loving God and walking with God, and then all of a sudden, it's like we got a blindfold put on us. And I just want to say, who told you had to keep the blindfold on? Come on, quit playing pin the tail with a donkey with the devil. Take the blindfold off. I'm walking with God. It doesn't add up right now, but that's all right. It'll make sense down the road. Ha, cool, man. I mean, look at that old man out there tending the sheep. You see him? He's not as young as he used to be. He doesn't walk with the gait of that genius engineer that he was. Look at those hands. They used to be the hands that stretched out over blueprints, building cities for Pharaoh. You can be seated. He's a mathematical genius, and he's out there counting sheep. Look at him. He's washed up. 80 years old. He's just an octogenarian memory. He's just a little old shadow of what he used to be. Look at him. Poor thing out there in Midian, wasting away. 80 years old. What does he have left to give? And then the burning bush, and then the call of God, and then 3 to 6 million Jews departing from Egypt in one night. See, appearances can be deceiving if you try to judge it in the middle of what's happening. How many Bible studies have you taught that 4 or 5 lessons into some of them you thought, I ain't ever going to get anywhere with these people? And then, boom, all of a sudden, the 6th lesson. I mean, you thought if I ever get anywhere with these people, it's going to take a year or two. But then the next lesson or two, boom, the Holy Ghost falls in. They're talking in tongues. They're showing up the next service, baptizing Jesus. You don't know. You can't look at it in the middle of the circumstance and go, hey, I've got it figured out. You can't let the devil come into your mind and put a question there that causes you to disrupt what God's process is. Yeah, hath God said. Yeah, God hath said. Do you really think God's going to do it? Yeah, I do think God's going to do it. Because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end. No, he's not going to abandon me. He's brought me this far. See, as a child of God, if you become to a place of maturity in him where he's trying to get all of us, when you first come to God and you get through a trial, whew, you come out of it and you go, I made it. Whoa. Whew. Drove by that old liquor store and didn't pull into the parking lot and go in and get me that old bottle of whiskey I used to get. I made it. Drove by that old crack house. Saw that old drug dealer friend. Didn't even tempt me. Whoa! You know what I'm talking about? It's about enduring. Everything is interpreted through enduring, overcome, getting through it. But there's a greater dimension of faith. It's when you go into the fire and you come out and you don't go, I made it. You come out and you go, I made. He's made me something different. I went into the fire looking one way, but I've come out looking another. I haven't just endured. I've been transformed. I haven't just gone through this thing. God has changed me through the fire of that trial. It's the gold that is purified 7 times in the fire. And that's what the psalmist David compared the word of God to. Gold that has been in the fire 7 times purified. Because every time it goes through the strain of the fire, there's a little more dross and a little more earthliness and a little more worldliness and a little more corruption and a little more doubt and a little more fear and a little more intimidation and a little more sin that is taken away and extracted away and burned out until you come out and you go, I made. God has made me what I am today. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's worship him for a few moments all over this house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Have you been going through something that's been a little confusing lately? Stand up. Have there been questions about anything? Stand up. Have you been struggling? But you realize after a while, oh, my struggle doesn't define me. It refines me. It's not just, oh, I'm making it. No, it's God's making me. I'm conforming. I'm becoming something better. After a while, when you go through something over and over again, you think, okay, what am I missing here, God? And finally it dawns on you. God's trying to get me to say, to quit saying, what's happening to me? Because that's always in negative review of what's happening. You see what I'm saying? What's happening to me? Why is this taking place? And it becomes, what am I becoming? Not what's happening to me. What am I becoming? What am I becoming? All of that stuff you went through, Joseph, was to make you a real ambassador. All that stuff you went through, Moses, was to make you a real deliverer. All that stuff you went through, Apostle Paul, whoo, did any of us really want to go through that? But you're the chiefest of apostles. You've got more scriptures in the New Testament written down than anybody else. You became the real flaming revival to the world of the Gentiles. It didn't all seem to add up at first, but it just, what am I becoming? I'm pressing. I mean, Paul, of all people, saying, I haven't made it. I'm still trying to reach it, so I'm pressing. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't spiritually presumptuous. He said, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm still pressing for the mark. I'm still trying to get in that holy of holies. I'm still trying to get into that most holy place with God. I'm still trying to become something better today than I was yesterday. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the, lift your hands to the Lord, those that are standing right now. In the name of Jesus, don't let the question disrupt your walk with God. Don't let the confusion cloud your judgment. In the name of Jesus, and I know severe things can happen, betrayal and rejection and failure and sin, and old appetites that you thought you had conquered a long time ago, and then all of a sudden they come back to haunt you again. And you're wondering, what did I do wrong? Questions, questions, questions. Where did I lose my faith? Why doesn't God love me like he used to? Why can't I feel? Questions, questions, questions. Oh, God. Until, Lord, I'm tired of the questions. I want to just come back to the simple word of God. And if I just obey the word of God, I know you're going to work for me. Those of you that kind of feel that way right now and you're standing, I want you to walk, be the first ones to walk down the front, because I believe the Holy Ghost wants to talk to some of you in the name of Jesus. Maybe you need to say, I don't have time for this question. God's too busy building a conviction in me. I don't have time for this question. God's too busy building character, developing my faith to a greater place, enhancing my love and compassion. In the name of Jesus. Area Mahayo. Konde Sheheto Komoto Yarama. Oh, precious God. Let's wait on him together. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Atela Mokomandale Shondekeya. Hashe Konde Yamaha Tokomalane Asha Yarava. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Reach over right now and lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. It's not question. It's just the first part of that. Quest. I am on a quest. I am seeking. I am hungry for something more in God. I am still trusting and believing for something that hasn't happened yet. Something that's been a thorn in my flesh, a torment in my spirit, for something that's been a hang up in my faith. But I believe. I still walk. Oh,
guiding me so carefully.